You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition of the Football Writers Association podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio and delighted to be joined by the soon-to-be chief football writer at The Sun, Neil Ashton, on the line. First of all, good morning. Welcome along, Neil.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you, sir?
Yeah, all good, thank you. All good.
A big weekend ahead of us with the quarterfinals of the FA Cup and a pivotal weekend in the Premier League as well. And Neil, we're going to start off with those FA Cup matches, one of which is tomorrow night. A game between Reading and Crystal Palace kickstarts the weekend. 7:55 kickoff for this one on Friday evening. Reading 2-1 to win the match, the draw 11-5, and Crystal Palace in the betting at 7-5. And things have gone wrong for Palace pretty quickly. Earlier on in the season, everyone was praising Alan Pardew for the job that he'd done at Crystal Palace, but their form has tailed off significantly.
Yeah, it certainly has. They've done well in the Cups, the FA Cup, won 3 games against Premier League opposition, which Alan Pardew has reminded people of in the build-up to this game. The problem is in the Premier League, where they haven't won in 12 games, and they haven't won in 2016 in the Premier League, a run that goes back to mid-December when they won at Stoke in the very, very last minute. So the league form is a real problem, because there are genuine fears that they could get sucked into the relegation battle at the end of the season. But, of course, they've done well in the Cup. It's a huge game for Pardew going back to Reading, because, of course, don't forget, back in 2003, when he walked out on Reading to go to West Ham, there was a High Court injunction. He wasn't allowed to go to West Ham for a few weeks until it all got resolved in the High Court. So he'll get a special welcome, and it won't be a fond welcome from Reading supporters, because they're still bitter about his exit all those years ago. So it's going to be a really interesting game for Palace, an interesting night for Reading, because they made so many changes in the week when they lost that it's clear that they've looked at this game against Palace on Friday night and thought, there's a Premier League team there, there's a big scalp, and they're vulnerable.
I think that's the case with Crystal Palace as well. Alan Pardew in particular seems intent on them having a very strong run in the FA Cup, and the league has been slightly neglected. They are in slight danger of being dragged into it as well. Admittedly, 8 points clear of Sunderland down at the bottom of the Premier League. But he will be incredibly concerned with the way their league form has dipped in the last few months. And maybe some of that down to the absence of Yannick Bolasie, but you can't build a team around one man.
No, certainly Kaiser's an exciting player, Yannick, and he's someone I've seen a lot. And I love his progress. I love the way that he plays the game and his approach to it. But you can't, as you say, you can't build a team around one man and use that as an excuse, because Palace have got other players with pedigree. Adebayor up front, Johan Cabayes, a team that won at Tottenham in the last round. So it's a team that can get results. It's still a good team. But for one reason or another, for some reason, their league form, perhaps they just dipped. Perhaps they prioritised the FA Cup a little bit, but they thought, OK, we've got a chance in this to have a real run. And they've done that. You know, they've knocked out 3 teams. Southampton the first game, Stoke in the second game at Selhurst Park, and then Tottenham. So they're on a good run. They're on a big run, isn't it?
What's your feeling about the scoreline in this match then?
Well, until the Liverpool game, I actually felt that Palace would win fairly comfortably the Majeski FC. But the Liverpool defeat at the weekend, the manner of it and what happened, I just feel that dented the confidence of the players. Just how much will it affect them, we'll find out. And I think Reading are going to win this game now.
Right.
I've changed my mind. Before the Liverpool game, I thought Palace would cruise that. And now I can see Reading prioritised by making all those changes in the week. And I think it'll be a bit of an upset.
2-1, Reading to win in the 90 minutes in that game.
Get on it.
Let's move on to the Saturday match. Everton versus Chelsea on Saturday, 5:30. This is a blockbuster tie in the round. Neil, Everton 13-10 to win the game, the draw 12-5, and Chelsea 2-1. Everton's form has been indifferent. They've got so many outstanding players in that squad. They should be doing a lot better, in my opinion anyway, Neil. They should be doing a lot better than they are. And the book has to stop with Roberto Martinez, doesn't it?
It does. When you hype your players up, when you say Gareth Barry's the best English player ever, in that position. Talk about Lukaku, John Stones will go on to be an England captain. If you're going to say that about those players, then you're whipping up. That's not the media. That's not your fans. You're whipping people up to believe in that. The proof's always in the pudding. So the talk's great, and it's great to listen to, and it's very engaging, and it creates dramatic headlines, and that's brilliant for us. But it puts an awful lot of pressure on players who may not be as good as Roberto Martinez is talking about. And the defeat last weekend, I kind of were down to 10 men when Morales got sent off. But the manner, again, the manner of the defeat, perhaps not acceptable for Everton supporters. They're not happy with the way that the team's playing. They leak so many goals. They score goals, of course. They've got players who've got a lot of ability pushing forward. Barkley, Lukaku, of course. We know about those players. But they just struggle at the back and they can't organise themselves. And I don't know whether that's Martinez or whether players aren't good enough or a combination of both.
Everton have never been known as a sacking club either when it comes to their managers, Neil. Do you think Roberto Martinez will be given time or is he on thin ice now?
Well, it depends what your targets are, doesn't it? If the target is top six, then he's underachieving, isn't he? The team isn't performing. If the target is to stay in the Premier League, I'm sure the targets are higher than that. But if it's to stay in the Premier League, then he's overachieving in that sense. But I suspect that, of course, it's Everton's a big club, wonderful history, proud tradition, great group of supporters, and a historical stadium. So the inevitably the demands will be a lot higher, and he hasn't been able to, with the players at his disposal and the talent that he's got there, he hasn't been able to find a way to take that team to the very, very highest level of the league. Saw it against Manchester City in particularly the second leg of the Capital One Cup semi-final. First leg they did well, second leg they just fell apart and they can't afford to do that. But they got good memories of this game against Chelsea because they beat them early in the season. Naismith was amazing. You remember the hat-trick?
Yeah.
Now at Norwich. So in terms of Martinez and pressure, I think he'll be under it because of the takeover, and Farhad Moshiri undoubtedly will have some pretty big plans for that club, and it's down to Martinez to meet some of those demands.
They've definitely got the infrastructure in terms of the personnel at the club as well. As for Chelsea, knocked out by PSG again in the Champions League, and Eden Hazard, who's been a bitter disappointment throughout the season, and Diego Costa, who's been talismanic for them recently, both limped off in that encounter. So they might be struggling to field a fully fit and strong 11 on Saturday evening.
Yeah, they may well be. Again, it depends what the effects are of that defeat against Paris Saint-Germain, the manner of it, because it highlighted the difference, the gulf really, between one top team, one emerging top team, and one team that's clearly on its way down. They've got a player on the pitch, Eden Hazard, who doesn't want to be there anymore. So that was obvious by the way that he played. His attitude towards the game this season hasn't been good enough, and he's not reached the heights that he did last season playing for them. So they've got a problem. They've got a big problem with him. Costa's injury going into that game at Goodison Park. But don't forget, they've got good memories of the FA Cup with Goodison because they won it back in 2009 when he was last in charge. So perhaps they will fall back on that. They need John Terry on the pitch. I doubt whether he'll have recovered in time as well, that leadership and that mentality. But it depends, very much depends on the heart and the desire and the drive of this Chelsea team going into that game.
Prediction?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think we'll go for a draw and a replay back at Stamford Bridge a few days, 10 days later.
12-5. Can see goals in that game as well, I think, Neil.
Yeah, you certainly can.
12-5, the draw. And if you're looking on the goals markets, over 2.5 goals in the betting here with William Hill at a price of 8-11. The over 2.5 goals. On to Sunday's games in the FA Cup. Arsenal versus Watford is the first of the two. 1:30 kick-off at the Emirates for this one. 6-10 Arsenal to win this game. The draw 3-1 and Watford 9-2. Even if Arsenal win the FA Cup this season, Neil, I don't think that will appease the fans. It would be their third straight FA Cup, but they're looking for more, the Arsenal fans nowadays.
Yeah, they are, and the demands is the Premier League, because people saw an opportunity for Arsenal to win it. I didn't see that opportunity because I don't think they're good enough. So people can talk about how this is a big chance and they should have won it, and perhaps, okay, it's still open. There is still an opportunity to win it, of course, but I just didn't see it there. I don't believe we've got an Arsenal team. I always compare it to 2004, the Invincibles, they've never got over that team because it was the best team Arsenal have had in their history. They've never quite got over it, and they've never found a way to match those achievements. Who would on a beaten league season in 49 games all in, but to match them in terms of winning a Premier League title, it's not easy. It's a lot of pressure. I think those shirts weigh heavily on the Arsenal players. I don't believe they really want to do it. I'm sure Wenger does. But has he really assembled a group of players who really want to win the Premier League title? I don't see it in the way they play. I don't see that desire or the ambition in those red and white shirts. So that's one of the problems. But the FA Cup, as you're saying, they've won it in the last two seasons. A hat-trick would take the heat off Wenger. But I don't think that's enough for Arsenal fans. They want progress, and they're not seeing progress on the pitch in terms of a fight for the league title.
You say the team's not good enough, Neil. Whose fault is that?
Well, it's down to Wenger. It's all down to him. This is a guy who, you know, back in 2004, when they were Invincibles, when they went to 2006 Champions League final, the guy believed he was a magician. And people wrote about him in those terms, that he could find, you know, great players, Lauer on the right back, Colo Touré, Vieira, Thierry Henry. You know, he found some great players. Of course he did. But he was fortunate enough to be aware of those players when he arrived in England. Sure. And we're looking 10 years down the line. Does he have players who have got similar characteristics? I don't really believe he has. He's got players who can score goals. He's still a great team to watch at times. But I'm afraid that's down to Wenger. He has to take responsibility for that. And he's always said, well, he now says about the stadium rebuilding and how it affected their budgets and how much they could spend on players. But the thing is, they always told their team, they always told people at the start of the season they were there to challenge for the title. And when you tell people that,
yeah,
you really have to believe it.
If you were on the board at Arsenal, hypothetically speaking, Neil, and in the summer there were discussions about whether to keep Wenger in his job or maybe move him upstairs, would you be sounding out other managers?
Undoubtedly. I would have done it years ago, actually.
Right, okay.
It is a great manager, great achievements, 3 Premier League titles, took his team to a whisker of a Champions League against Barcelona in 06, and the countless FA Cups was 6. It's an amazing achievement. So, but he's been caught. When you stand still, you go backwards in football, don't you? And that's what's happened in terms of the other teams, the other clubs who've gone on to have huge success in recent years. United, of course, historically, just got pedigree. But Manchester City, they've just fallen so far behind. And for those clubs, it would be embarrassing if Leicester City the title, it would be embarrassing given the investment and the infrastructure of those football teams and the power and the allure of the clubs. They have to look at alternatives. I doubt they will because Wenger runs the show there. But if it was down to me, then it would have been done years ago.
As for Watford, we've not spoken about Watford. They're having a solid season, Watford, struggling to score goals recently. The goals that Odion Ighalo provided the team with earlier on in the season have dried up slightly.
Yeah, they have. It's a shame, isn't it? He was linked with Manchester United last week, and it's kind of come at a time when he was when the goals literally, he's just stopped scoring, isn't he? It's a shame because he looked so good in the first half of the season. I'm sure he'll come good again. He obviously was an exciting player. And they've got a tough game, but they're taking a lot of support. I'm talking about 9,000 Watford supporters are going to the Emirates. That's a huge number of travelling fans. Arsenal have had a difficult week, and you think this long trip to Hull, good result, an emphatic result, and that got people off Wenger's back, no doubt about it. But he's managing a game to game existence now, and Watford have to take advantage of that. It's not. I'm not saying Wenger will leave based on a game, but he's being judged by the media game by game and the supporters. And when it comes to that, you're right under pressure because you can't go 2 or 3 games without a win. So Watford have to find a way to pounce on that vulnerability. They are psychologically, you can get at Arsenal, as Swansea showed a couple of weeks ago at the Emirates when they went there and won. It can be done. And with 9,000 travelling supporters, well, you've got a bigger way support on your side as well.
It can be done. Do you think it will be done on Sunday?
No, I've talked them up now, but I don't. Arsenal just got, they've got too much history with the competition. This is their last chance of silverware for me. They won't win the league, but they can win the cup. They've had an easier, straightforward run in it. Relatively straightforward to get into teams that they know or expect or should beat.
Yeah.
This is another one, and they'll get it done this time in the 90 minutes, I think.
We close the FA Cup weekend with Manchester United versus West Ham at Old Trafford. Manchester United 10-11 here with William Hill to win the game. The draw is 5-2 and West Ham in the betting at 3-1. Enhanced odds offers here. Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win in 90 minutes is 3-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win at 10-1. Good job I mentioned Dimitri Payet because... Yep. He might be the outstanding player in this Premier League season. Him and Jamie Vardy, Riyad Mahrez at Leicester as well. But I've been so impressed with him. I think it's impossible not to be overcome by the ability he's shown in his first Premier League season.
Yeah, well, he's an exciting player. And he brings games to life, which is what we enjoy about those kind of players that put you on the edge of your seat. You mentioned Balassi earlier at Palace. Payet's a level up, obviously. And his ability to score goals, create them as well. And he can go missing in games. That's what I actually like about him. People are a bit critical of him that he can spend periods, prolonged periods of games where he doesn't seem to be involved. He's on the periphery, but that can be a benefit because people lose a little bit of concentration. All of a sudden, this guy delivers that little bit of magic. Maybe he could do more. I don't know. I don't know his kind of up in his characteristics and his mentality, but. He's a guy with a lot of ability, and they've recognised that by giving him a new five-year contract. He's on more money than any other West Ham player has ever earned. He probably deserves it. He's had a great season, and you know, West Ham supporters, he's probably the most talismanic figure at that club since Carlos Tevez saved them from relegation back in 2007 now. So, yeah, he's an interesting player, and he's the kind of guy who can make a difference. Di Canio, of course, was that kind of player. Tevez, all in West Ham shirts. They'll need him to make a difference at Old Trafford because it's such a big game and there's a lot riding on it.
It's a real bonus for West Ham that he has signed that deal as well, because that's a form of protection, isn't it? You know that if one of the big clubs does come in for him, they're going to have to pay big money now to get him.
Yeah, they certainly will. And I get the feeling with the guy that he just enjoys his football more than anything. Perhaps he doesn't need that massive club. Perhaps he's not here for the big West Ham use it as a stepping stone, the big move next. But perhaps he's just seeing it another way. That he enjoys his football. He's found somewhere he calls home. He loves it there. He's playing well. And why not enjoy it? He's got the Olympic Stadium next season, their first season there. He's going to be an iconic figure. He's going to be a big part of that. And West Ham have recognised him. So perhaps we see his long-term future. When you sign a five-year contract, the expectations are that you'll see that through, and I don't see any reason why he won't.
Big chance for them as well to win at Old Trafford on Sunday, because Manchester United depleted in terms of personnel and confidence not high within the club either. So there's an opportunity for West Ham to get through to the semi-finals, not even having to take this to a replay. They're a big prize, 3-1, to win at Manchester United at the weekend.
Yeah, it's hard to call Manchester United favourites. You just can't predict how they're going to play. That decent run of results, didn't they, until last weekend, then they go and lose. Of course, Europa League against Liverpool, how much has that taken out of them as well? So that match is such a big game. And then they've got the second leg at Manchester United next Thursday as well. So they're playing a lot of games in a short period of time. And are United equipped and set up for those games? That relentless charge that we used to see under Sir Alex Ferguson towards the end of the season, I don't think they really are. Whereas West Ham just see it's a golden bullet, isn't it? It's an opportunity to knock Manchester United out in a quarter final. 11,000 travelling West Ham fans at Old Trafford. That's a lot. They'll want to reward and repay those supporters for making that trip up there on Sunday. It's a big game, and they will feel confident. They've got no reason not to be.
Do you think they will edge it?
I think they'll go to a replay, actually. I think it'll be a tight game, and there'll be a bit more congestion for United, which they don't need with that Europa League second leg against Liverpool on Thursday. But I can see that going to a replay at Upton Park.
Yeah, it's well worth noting we're recording this on Thursday afternoon as well, just before that pivotal, crucial Europa League clash. So things could change as well. They could pick up more injuries on Thursday night, and that might change the odds considerably as well. Let's just have a quick word on the two Premier League matches that are televised this weekend before you leave us, Neil. Norwich versus Man City is first up. This is Saturday, 12:45. Norwich are 9-2 to win the game. The draw is 3-1, and Manchester City in the betting at 6-10. Manchester City, you can read between the lines, Neil, but this seemed to have lost a little bit of impetus following the announcement that Pep Guardiola would arrive in the summer and Manuel Pellegrini would be on his way out. I don't think that's good for the players, knowing that the manager's not going to be there next season. Not having, they're very egotistical, these players, and not having someone to impress there might be their undoing in terms of the league title.
Yeah, possibly. And there's two ways of looking at it. Sometimes, okay, that's it, down the tools and wait for a new manager. But they're professionals, they're highly paid professionals. They've guys who've won two league titles in the last few years, one under Pellegrini, one under Mancini. What a fitting way it would be, what a nice way it would be for the guy to leave the club with a league title. That's how I would look at it if I was one of the players there, rather than saying, okay, we're on easy street. Capital One Cup final, let's not forget that. They got across the line eventually against Liverpool, finally, on penalties. But then look what happened to them at Anfield a few days later. They were cuffed, they were just pulled all over the place. So I think that they have a difficulty with the priorities. What is it they want to do? Do they really want to win the title? I'm not convinced we're seeing a team that's got the same ambition.
Okay. And as far as this game is concerned, Norwich are struggling under Alex Neil at the moment. They look like they're doomed the way they're performing.
Yeah, but they are. And if they want to stand the Premier League, got to win matches. That's the bottom line. But 12:45 kickoff at home to Manchester City. That's not an easy way to start, is it? But
no. You
do have an opportunity because Newcastle play on Monday at Leicester. They are under enormous pressure because of their managerial situation. And Norwich, they've got to find a way to, it doesn't matter, they've got to find a way to win matches. And perhaps they can play on a little bit of the anxiety with City. You know, what do they really want? What are they really trying to achieve this season in Pellegrini's final season? No one's convinced. But I don't really see enough in that Norwich team to believe that they think they can stay up.
Yeah.
Or they've got enough to stay up, just judging by their recent run of results. They just don't seem to have anything about them anymore.
Now, I think Manchester City, the player there at 6-10. Let's talk about Leicester City versus Newcastle. Final game previewed on the podcast. Leicester 11-20 to win this match. The draw 3-1 and Newcastle in the betting at 5-1. What's the latest as far as the managerial situation is concerned? Thursday midday, and we were hearing last night, Neil, that Rafa Benitez was going to be appointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it has been, that it will be Benitez. They talked to him last week, they've been talking to him all this week, and I'm pretty sure that he'll be the next Newcastle manager and he'll be in the dugout for that game. There's no time for when can you come, do you want to sit in the stands for the last game? No, you just can't do that. There's no time. We saw previously with Alan Shearer when he was the Newcastle manager, he had just about enough time to keep the team in the Premier League. He couldn't quite achieve it, even with the games that he had, about 8 games, I think. Benitez has got one more. So he's got an opportunity, he's got a chance. They'll believe they've got the players, they've got the fans, they'll have the fans straight back on their side, of course. And it will give them a lift to go into a game against the league leaders, a team that's 5 points clear, go into that game. That there's a chance for them to stay up under this manager. A guy who's won the European Cup with Liverpool, who's managed Real Madrid, okay, for a very, very short period of time, did brilliantly at Valencia, won the Europa League with Chelsea when he was their interim manager. It can be done, and he'll give them a lift. He'll undoubtedly give them a lift. So it will jar with Leicester a little bit, because the normal course of events is, at the moment, you look at Leicester, Newcastle, Steve McClaren in charge, you think, okay, one more game. In Monday night football, in isolation, Leicester will win that. And all of a sudden, with a new manager and Rafa Benitez and his presence, you think, actually, that's not straightforward anymore.
Yeah, and it's a coup, isn't it, if they do get Benitez in there, because not many managers will have made that transition from a club like Real Madrid to, with the greatest respect, to a club like Newcastle. It's definitely a drop in terms of the player's ability in that club. It is a complete transition for Benitez.
Yeah, he didn't last 5 minutes at Real Madrid, and I can see why, because of the players at Real Madrid, the Galactico presence, and the type of players they've got in that dressing room. And I know, you know, Rafa of old, and dealt with him so many times as a manager in this country with Liverpool and with Chelsea. But he has had success, and he's had success with smaller clubs. You look at his record with Valencia, hugely successful, and Newcastle will be hanging a little bit on that, thinking, okay, Valencia aren't the biggest club in Spain, but he had a great deal of success with them. And Newcastle, as we know, is waiting for someone to revive them. It's been going on for years and years with a number of different managers. Who's going to crack it? Maybe Rafa will be that man. He's certainly got the ambition to do it. You know, he wants to work again. He wants to come back into football, wants to work back in English football. Massive opportunity for him here, and I think he's about to take it.
Do you think Leicester City continue to roll on Monday night then, Neil?
It's funny, I'd love to say. I think they will, because they have so much time to prepare for their matches, and that's the huge advantage they've got over their rivals, is that Leicester played last Saturday at Watford and won that game without Mahrez, that brilliance from Mahrez, and now they've had a little bit of time off again. They go back to work. They're not having any distractions with other games, other competitions. It's a straight run into the title, which is why every time they come up against a test, they pretty much answer it, and they answer it emphatically. So even with Rafa in the hot seat at Newcastle, I still think Leicester somehow will go on to win that game.
And do you believe they will be crowned Premier League champions at the end of the season?
Well, I hope so. You're 5 points clear now, and there is just running out of games. Why would a team that's lost, three games all season, all of a sudden, okay, we keep asking them questions and the pressure's on, can they do it? But why would a team that's lost three games so far this season, over the remaining games, lose 5, 6, 7? It's unlikely to happen. So on that basis, they should go on. But based on their current form over the games they've played so far, the title's theirs.
Superb. Thank you, Neil. Remember, if you want to follow Neil on Twitter, @NeilAshton_ is Neil's Twitter handle. And we'll be reading more of your pieces in The Sun very shortly, Neil.
Top man. Thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.